Hey, it's Lina Escamilla, and you're watching the Business Accelerator Show. You're in the right place if you want to learn how to build and scale your business to the next level while having more freedom in your life. I'm very excited about today's episode. I know you guys are going to love it. So we have a former national wedding sales manager who lost her brother-in-law, her job, and her home all in the same week. While she was stuck in a third world country with no job opportunities, she had to learn how to make an income online ASAP. So she spent her last bit of savings, $12 to be exact, and invested it in a blog domain, ladybossblogger.com. Since its conception, Lady Boss Blogger has garnered a massive audience of 150,000 in under 2 years. It's a platform that helps female entrepreneurs learn how to start, grow, and scale their own online businesses and blogs. She has been featured in the Huffington Post and over 100 other websites, blogs, magazines, and books. Welcome, Elaine Ross. So excited to have you here with us.
Thanks, Lina, for having me again.
Yes, this is our second time having her in one of our series. She's amazing. And you heard a little bit about her story very briefly just in that bio. But I'd love for you to take us through that time. From how did you go from that moment, that, you know, hard week, I can't even imagine. And then, you know, take all that, all those negative things and reshape it and package it into something that would bring you so much joy and success.
Yeah. So when I started the blog, I was living in Honduras. I had moved over to Honduras at, you know, basically, so I was in Honduras and I wanted to start a blog to get out of the rut that I was in, because I had no purpose, I had no direction in life, and I wanted to start a blog to learn who I wanted to become. And I wanted to become a female entrepreneur because there was no other job opportunities available for me living in a third world country, right? So I started the blog and I interviewed female entrepreneurs that were interesting to me, that I wanted to learn from, because I couldn't afford a mentor. So I wanted to learn from the best. And so that's kind of how it started. And so basically I gave myself a purpose and a reason to wake up every morning. And I worked on it like 6 a.m. to midnight every single day for like an entire year. And I feel like that's how it grew so fast, was because I definitely put in the work to make it work for me.
I love the inspiration behind it, and that it was so organic. It was something that you were just passionate about, and then that naturally and organically turned into a business. So can you walk us through a little bit of how this came about, how you first solicited like mentorship, and how you translated that into a blog and then monetized it?
So with every interview, I learned a new morsel of information. Like, I remember how I learned about Canva was like 15 interviews in a row talked about Canva. And I was like, what is this resource and why does everyone love it? So that I checked it out and I was like, oh yeah, I see why. You know, it's like super, I mean, it's free and it's like the best graphic design tool that you could possibly use. I literally use Canva on every single day for every single thing that I design across all my platforms. So just learning from them, you know, via mentorship, in the form of not, like, I guess not soliciting mentorship from them per se, but giving them something of value, AKA a feature on my blog, in exchange for their advice and their expertise. And then how it translated into monetary was I, like, a weekend, I was like, oh my gosh, like, if I don't start making money, I'm going to, like, you know, go back into this whole, you know, like, cycle of purposelessness. Because, I mean, obviously, you know, money motivates, right? So I was like, okay, what if I asked it for $5 to get featured on my blog? It was like a brand new blog, and I like didn't know if it'll work. But I reached out to 100 ladies, 10 girls got back to me, and then one girl agreed to say, yes, I'll get, you know, I want to be featured. And I was like, oh my God. So that was my first $5 of entrepreneurial dollars that I made. And I was like, okay, this is a viable way to make income. And that's how it all started.
I'd love to touch upon that. So you contacted 100 people, and of those 100, one person said yes?
Yes.
Wow. That just shows the power, you know, of following through and consistency, because a lot of people would have given up. You know, 99% said no, but you focused on the 1% that said yes. And then you used that and you just kept contacting people, I'm guessing, right?
Yes. Yeah. And then now, I mean, it's kind of turned full circle in the sense of people contact me now, even though I do still do outreach. I give my interns that job actually, but it's kind of people, it's like become a platform where people want to get featured on it. People want, they see that it's like a platform for experts, and they want to be seen as an expert. Therefore, they want to get featured on there too.
I love how you turned that around. And yeah, you just kept going and believed in your idea. And that speaks a lot into, you know, what I said, being consistent and kind of following through your vision. So was there a time where you struggled and perhaps during those moments where 100 people, out of 199 said no, were there any other moments like that and you felt like you were struggling or you were failing in some sense, but later on you were able to see that that was a great lesson and takeaway?
I think in business, you're going to always feel like you're failing in the sense of because your goals keep on getting bigger and bigger, right? So then, you know, once you accomplish something, then you're like, okay, I want to go to the next thing. Like, you know, once you get 1,000 subscribers, you're like, okay, well, that's only 1,000. Let's get 2,000. You know what I mean? So I feel like your goals keep on getting bigger and bigger, which is really good. But definitely sometimes it's good to slow down and be like, okay, I just got 1,000 subscribers. That's a huge deal, you know? But what was your question again?
Yeah, so what was like the one failure, but I love what you just shared, but were there any failures where you thought, well, I might just give up and you mentioned, yeah, there's a lot of failures, but that later on you saw there were actually learning opportunities or you took something great away from that experience.
I think just honestly, like for let's take the email subscribers, for example. I started out with literally just using my Gmail. Don't do that. Terrible idea. And just like having, you know, BCC, like everybody, you know, because that way they can't unsubscribe and they can't, like, you know, you're just kind of like a pest, you know, like with all these BCCs. But basically that's how I started because I didn't want to pay for a email platform. And honestly, I could have just used MailChimp, you know, but that's what I was comfortable with. That was what I don't know. Like, so that's what I did. So I would say that's something that, I should have just invested in, an email service provider, regardless if it's, you know, even just $10 a month, $20 a month, whatever it is. Your email list is your source of making money, because what I say is like, yes, I have 1,500 followers, whatever. But your most loyal followers are the ones who actually want to be in your email list. You know, the ones who actually enjoy your content, the ones that actually want to stay in touch. And that is where your money maker is going to be. Once you launch a product, once you have affiliate market income or whatever it is, that's how you're going to stay in contact with them. Because not necessarily, like, every single person that I know checks their email every single day. You know, some people have 5 emails, but they still check it every single day. For your social media platforms, that's not necessarily the case. So what I do is I get the people, you know, you grow your social media followers in order to get them into your email list. Every single thing that you do revolves around getting people into your email list. So that's what I would focus on, and that's what I would invest in. So I would say for me, my failure was in not seeing how important an email list was and just kind of like flimsy being, trying to like cut corners around that when that should have been my focus.
I love, that's a great takeaway. And that is something I definitely also strive to let entrepreneurs know. It's great to have a following, but where are you taking them? Where are you redirecting them? So what you mentioned is great. Redirect them to your newsletter where you can actually have their contacts, keep sending them more information of value, and also information about your services or products. Love that. Mm-hmm. So you've built this amazing platform and up to so many followers, over 100,000 followers. What is the key behind building a platform to be so successful, to building your Instagram and your blog to be so successful?
I think of it as a relationship with your parents, with your friends, whatever, right? I don't know, like some people talk to their parents every single day, some people talk to their friends every single day, but if your friends don't hear from you in a while, they're going to start thinking that you forgot them, you know? So same thing with your followers. If you are, or I also say it like, when you're like watching a TV show, right? Like you get home from work, you know, 6 PM or whatever, and you want to watch your favorite TV show, you want to engage in that content, you want to digest it. And then once you get home, it's not there. And you're like, oh my God, right? You kind of freak out. So it's kind of the same thing with showing up consistently on social media. Like if you don't show up every single day as you promise, like for example, I promise to my followers that every single day I'm posting new content at 6 PM. Everyone knows that. It's on Instagram, on my blog, on Facebook, on LinkedIn, on Twitter, everywhere. And people know that. And so when you advertise that you're going to be posting even if it's every week, right? Mm-hmm. You have to be consistent about that, because you kind of become a channel of where people seek out content. If it's like, you know, you post sporadically, people don't necessarily know when to engage with you and when to go check out your content, if they are really interested in what it is that you have to post about. So staying consistent has been, I feel, for me, the way that I've built it so fast. In addition to that, I immediately invested in social media marketing tools, automation tools. One in particular I would recommend is called SmarterQ. You can go to ladyboss.blogger.com/smarterQueue. Mm-hmm. And it's basically an automation that regurgitates your content. So there's a lot of ones that you can invest in, like Hootsuite or whatever it is, but those don't recycle your content. So for example, once you queue up a week later, you have to re-queue it again. I look like I'm online 24/7, but in all honesty, I haven't been back on my SmarterQ platform in like months, but it looks like I'm literally on there all the time. So you can schedule it for either 30-day, 60-day, or 90-day recycle queue, which then goes back to your content and making sure that the content that you post on there is evergreen. Like, for example, if you have like a beauty guide for 2017 trends, that's not going to be relevant in a year, or like a Christmas trends or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Make sure not to queue that kind of content. And I would actually even recommend not creating that kind of content either, because you want your content to always stay evergreen if you want it to be searchable in Google and always. So that's what I would recommend.
That's a great tool. I'm actually going to look it up myself. I had never heard of that one. So thank you for that tip. And also planning ahead. Yeah, that saves you so much time. Maybe you batch your posts, or for Instagram or for Facebook. I also use also a tip for you guys watching. I also use this platform called Later to pre-program my posts. I don't know if SmarterQ allows you to do that as well, but it does save you a lot of time. You don't have to be there day by day. You can just one day batch it all up and program it. So that's a great tip.
That's only for Instagram, right?
Yeah, that one's for Instagram and Facebook.
I would actually, one that I've used Later, but a one that I would recommend is actually Planoly. You can also mm-hmm. check that out, ladybossblogger.com/Planoly, Planoly. I use it on the free one, honestly, because they have 30 posts that you can upload for free, aka one every single day. Yeah. And so I think Later is paid, right?
Yeah, it is paid, yeah.
Okay. But I prefer that one. That's the one that I've liked. And then obviously for Pinterest, I would use Tailwind.
Okay, we'll write those down, and you guys, yeah, check which one works best for you. There are so many out there, but the thing is, you know, use one to save yourself time, because it does help you a lot to open up that time. And something talking about, you know, your brand presence, I love your branding. I'd love for you to talk about a little bit of the importance also when building your audience, how important it is to be consistent, not only in posting, but in your visuals, in your communication, all that composes your branding.
Yeah, I would recommend choosing one or two colors that you use in everything. I use one color, and I feel like that's really worked really, really well for me. But everything, I have templates as well. So you have like, I would recommend like, you know, having maybe like five templates I use for Pinterest posts, another five for Twitter, or even just one, honestly. I use one or two only. It depends on how, you know, crazy you want to get, and what kind of content you post. But like, I mean, having those specific templates will save you so much time, because not only will that look, people will get used to your look, but then it'll also make it easier for you, because you already have the templates to create what it is that you want, to just whip it out. So it's not only a time saver for you, it's also a branding mechanism for people to recognize your content. Like when people go on Instagram, you know, people always tell me, they're like, I always know whenever it is that you post, because you only post two things, right? One is a quote, and then one is a pink rimmed blog post. And it's very, very simple. Like literally I just drag and drop, you know, all my different things. And it's like so I have interview posts, and then I have business research posts. So for the interview post, I have the girl's face along with her quote, and it's always black and white, and it's always side by side. So her quote is here and her face is here. And then the other post that I have is pink, and it's like surrounded, and then the words are black around a white circle, and it's just the blog post name. Super, super simple. And I just rotate it back and forth every single day. That's it.
That's a great takeaway. That's a great takeaway. You know, keep it simple and better done than perfect for some people that might be figuring out they have to do 100 different templates or different arts every single day. I know at the beginning, that's something that I kind of struggled with also, you know, but once you, like you said, once you find your brand, your branding or your image or your two colors or your five templates, you know, whatever you want to narrow it down to, it becomes so much easier to get to, and you can batch it. Like you said, also you can batch those art because it's now it's just drag and drop. It's so much easier. And with tools like Elaine mentioned, like Canva, you can just use a template over and over and just replace the pictures. So yeah, that is a great
tip. Your blog post too. Like, I mean, the structure of your blog post, like on my, on Lady Boss Blogger, you can go to /guest-post. And I have literally like, you know, whenever people submit guest posts for me, I have an exact formula of how they need to write. So every single thing that I edit is in the same formula. Therefore I can structure it. Therefore, like I can just whip right through in editing and then post it. So structure everything, give people guidelines, and that's it.
Working smarter, not harder. Yeah, love that. And I'd love for you to walk us through a little bit of how you managed. So first, consistency in posting either periodically, whether it's daily for you, weekly, monthly, whatever that's it's for you. Also your branding and your imagery around your visuals. And then are there any other ways you manage to scale? I mean, I hear so many people, you know, going back and forth, should I hire these people that automate it and get you fake followers? Or is that bad for you? Are bots bad for you? You know, how do you grow it organically? Or are there any tools you recommend that do work and that are not gonna, you know, fill your account of fake followers, because we don't want that actually fill out of followers that are gonna be interested in your content, would want to digest it, and potentially if you have something to sell, would turn into customers?
I would recommend having your social media bio should be like your hype man. So everything in there should, number one, it should relate to your accolades. It should relate to what exactly it is that you do. And then it should have your freebie in people so that people can sign up for your email list. Those are the three things that are super, super important in order for people to, when they land on your page, regardless of what platform it is, they know exactly how you can help them. So why you're qualified to do so. So that's something that I would definitely recommend. Another thing to grow your followers is hire interns. Have the interns do, you know, your reach out work. Like I have my interns send out DMs for me all the time. I literally have like, okay, this is exactly, we just copy and paste, you know, and these are the target people who you're going to reach out to. And then they just like, go. So I would say, or if you want, you can outsource that as well. But I mean, if you want free work and you want to make sure that people are invested in your brand, I would hire interns to do that legwork for you.
So in your case, it was just very organic. You just like posted consistently, used branding that was consistent and reached out, you know, organically to people through DM. And that's how you grew through the thousands, right? So it is possible, because I know a lot of people watching us might have a very small following, a couple hundred people or a couple thousand, which is not much for them. And they want to grow and scale. And they're wondering, should I invest in this bot or in this automation? And so your take would be take the organic route and just create great content and reach out through organic DMs.
Yeah, I mean, the DMs, I would say a commenting. I would join comment pods as well on Telegram and different things like that. Just having it all around your niche. So basically, whatever it is that you do, whoever it is that you comment on, whatever it is that you reach out to, always make sure that they are related to what you're, like, for example, if you're in the travel niche, you don't want to be commenting all but always on beauty. You might be interested in beauty yourself, but you are in the travel niche. Therefore, you need to be engaging with other people in the travel niche. Like, I just got an email from, I don't know, this like influencer platform, something, and they're like, oh, you just ranked number you're one of the five people that ranked highest in female entrepreneur niche. And I was like, oh my God, that's so cool. You know, out of like, I don't know how many people they said like in the States or something like that. And I was like, wow, that is really, really awesome because of the hashtags that I use and because of the people that I engage with. So I'm always engaging with other female entrepreneurs. Therefore, I am seen as an expert in the female entrepreneur realm.
I love that. So yeah, keep connecting and keep organically connecting. Like don't just post and leave it at that. But yeah, actually start a conversation, a digital conversation. And that has worked for me a lot. So I resonate with that. I think those are great takeaways. And how, once you do have the followers, or even if you have a few followers, how do we turn them into loyal customers? Because that's what, as business owners, we want to actually do, you know, not just have a lot of people following us, but actually turn them into customers.
In order to turn them into customers, you really need strategic content, in the sense of like every single thing that you post should relate back to either joining your community group, which is your Facebook group or LinkedIn group, joining your email list, which is where you continue to send them awesome content, or somehow having them re-engage with you in whatever it is that, basically building relationships. I would say those are the number two, community groups and email lists. Community groups are great, especially if you're looking for people to engage with one another and them to like kind of take on a life of its own, because with email, obviously it's a little bit different because it's just one-on-one. So they can establish a better relationship with you, but Facebook, they can establish with your community. So definitely thinking about how do you want to continue that relationship with that, with a minimal amount of effort on your part. Not because I feel like there's a lot to do. Like, obviously you want to engage, but it can also become really draining if you're like talking to everybody, you know,
yeah,
every single day, you know, and like literally I get like 500, 600 emails a day. Not necessarily from clients, but also from like pitches, like publications pitching me on like, hey, write about this, or hey, like, I don't know. Everyone wants a piece of your attention, right? So make sure to have the maximum amount of, just be smart, you know, in where you give that attention, and go from there.
I love that. Yeah. So in order to bring them over to our Facebook group or to our email list, I'll go back to what you suggested at the beginning, have a free gift, right? Or in your LinkedIn bio or a call to action in your posts to head over to your group or to head over to download that free gift. And once they do, they'll be signed into your email list and you can keep sending them information. And that's also, you know, a channel you can control. So this applies even for either Facebook posts or Pinterest posts. Once you direct them to your newsletter, then, you know, you can keep sending them and sending them information about your courses or your services or products or whatever.
Yeah. So, like, for example, when you write a blog post, like to be strategic about it, you know, like within the blog post, you'll also have like, you know, whatever it is, like, let's say you're talking about how to link, how to get social media followers from your social media bio, right? Then you'll link your own stuff and be like, join my Facebook group and check out how I do it. You know what I mean? So like you're giving content and creating value for them because they're learning something from you, but you're also directing them to your thing. And then if they're interested, they will join your group as well. So like always having a call to action, whatever it is that you want, not just creating content just to create content and just so that it's good, but making sure that you know exactly the action that you want your readers to take, and not only having it at the bottom of your post, but all throughout as well. Yep. You know, like you might have, you know, maybe like at the very, very first sentence, you know, like exactly what it is that you want. I wouldn't recommend that per se, depending on your content, but maybe like in the second paragraph or different things like that. But yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree. Always have a call to action in mind that is obviously linked to the content of the value you're providing, but that also takes them, it's kind of a gateway to open to take them to where you want them to go next. And I know a lot of people watching us are wondering, and who are going to check out your platform after our interview if they haven't checked it out yet, are wondering, you know, how, if I were to be a blogger or if I'm currently a blogger, how do I monetize my blog? And I know there are several ways of doing that. I'd love for you to enlighten us a little bit about how they can do that. What are the best practices? What has worked for you?
The only two things I would ever invest my time in is number one, affiliate marketing to start out with. And then number two, building your own product after you learn which affiliate products work for you. Because a lot of people talk about, because the reason why is because affiliate marketing is a way for passive income. If you give services, which are great, you can package up your services into a product and resell them over and over again. However, if like, you don't want to be constantly in the service industry because you're going to constantly have to show up and do the same thing over and over again without a way to resell it. So with affiliate marketing, it's basically you write a post. Like, for example, I wrote about Tailwind and I got like so many signups on Tailwind because for Tailwind, if you sign someone up, you get like, I think it's like 50 cents per sign up. And that's like just if they sign up. That's not even if they sign up for or they pay for the service. It's like per lead. So for affiliate marketing programs, definitely search for not only products, but also services, because then you get paid monthly. Like, for example, if people sign up for ConvertKit, which is my email marketing service, I get paid monthly for every person that I refer, because I get a chunk out of the service that they pay for, right? So I would promote services. I would promote high-end affiliate marketing products, which are basically, if you're in the fashion industry, like, don't promote that $10 dress or whatever. You know, obviously your niche, if it is affordable clothing, then yes. But imagine how many pieces of clothing you have to sell in order to make even like the slightest cut. Because normally they do like, what, 10, 15% for clothing. I would recommend getting on products that, you know, are higher end as well as higher percentage, like 30, 40, 50% of whatever the sale that you make. And then once you see like a product that is performing well, then you translate that, if that is your niche and if you are an expert in it or know enough about it to create a product, then you create that product that fills the void or gap that you see in this affiliate product. And then that's how you're going to be able to monetize the best way possible. Because when you're doing affiliate marketing, you're creating content around that. Therefore, you're generating an audience that is interested in those products or those services or that area or that niche, right? Then when you have your own product, you actually have an audience already built in to sell to. So I wouldn't necessarily recommend, there are people who say like, hey, create a product first and then sell it. You're going to hear all sorts of different things. But in my experience, what I've learned is that like, if you have a target audience and a market that you have built up, that's going to make your product launch and your affiliate marketing so much more effective than if you just try to do the opposite way around. But it's really up to you, because different techniques work for different people. If you start out, okay, for example, I started out with no knowledge. I was not an expert, but day in and day out, I was literally learning 6 a.m. to midnight, you know, what it was meant to be a blogger, what it meant to be, like, branding, like, everything. I was immersed in it. Therefore, I learned a lot faster than people who just do work on it like 1 hour a day, right? Mm-hmm. So you can either start out as an expert or you can start out as a learner. I started as a learner. Therefore, it's important for me to build that platform first. If you start out as an expert, I would say create that course first, because you already know what you're talking about. And you probably already have people who have worked with you in the past, who know what you're capable of and know about your expertise, who can speak for you. So know where you're at in order to know how to start. As I said, if you're a learner, start with affiliate marketing. If you're an expert, start with a product, and then you know, go, you know, back and forth. Yeah.
Yeah. And I love what you said, because if you are a learner, I love how you put in learner or expert. This is also something I always teach, like, first create the audience and figure out what their needs and what they want before you, you know, offer this great idea that's only in your head, but nobody knows and you've never validated. And then you might be so excited and put it out there and nobody actually has a need or a desire for it. So that is key. That is key. And I know Elaine has a secret thing coming up around that sort. She's creating something precisely out of listening to her audience. So perhaps you guys keep an eye in the Facebook group, because we'll be excited to share it once it does come out.
Well, let me talk a little bit about it and how it came about. So I wrote a blog post about the 12 most profitable niches for making money online, and it went viral, like 22,000 pins. Okay. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, I think I'm onto something, you know, cause like I promoted it once a little bit and then just like boomed, you know? So I feel that's how I listened to my audience, by creating, like, I created content for 2 years until like this went crazy. Right. And I was like, okay. And then after that, I started getting all these emails like, oh, how do you start a blog? You know, what do you think about this niche? And like, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, so that, then I realized that like, that is what I had to create a course on, because I was getting so many emails talking about like, how do you create a blog in the travel niche? How do you create one in the fashion niche? How do you, it's always related to blogging. I was like, okay, even though I didn't really want to talk about blogging, because I was in the entrepreneur, startup, marketing, digital media niche, but people were asking me about blogging. So I was like, okay, so sometimes it's going to be very interesting to you what people want from you specifically. And then when they start asking you those questions, they're not going to ask it immediately. So don't assume in a few months, they're just going to be like, hey, you know, like, what do you think about XYZ? They might, but I would say, yeah, when you listen to your audience, that's when you're going to create the best, most effective product for them. So I'm coming out with a course on how to create a profitable blog, but focusing on the foundations. Because a lot of people, when you don't, like, for example, if you don't have the correct foundations, you're never going to be able to market it, never going to be able to make it profitable because you don't have the right strategies in place. Like I was just reading, like only 9% of bloggers actually make money blogging. That's a tiny amount. Think about how many blogs are out there. Think about how many people are creating content and not making any money from it. So I was like, I want to bridge that gap and I want to make that bigger and I want to make women understand and know that like blogging is a viable way and this is how you do it. Specifically how to, because like, I was just talking at a conference yesterday and I had so many people come up to me and they were just like, how, like, what are the steps? And I was like, okay, the course is coming, you know? So yeah.
I'm loving it. I'm very excited for it. I will definitely share it with you guys, with our audience, so you guys can check it out and see if it's for you. And just as a last question, Elaine, I love talking about blogging. There's a lot of people also that have this, you know, kind of going back and forth, should I blog by writing or should I blog by video blogging? Do you have a take on that? And is there one that's more effective than the other? Or can you speak a little bit on about that? There's people that are better writing. There's people that are better speaking. So what are your recommendations around that if they're guessing which one they should go for?
Definitely the one that you're most comfortable with, always. That's where you start. You can always expand upon that. But for example, like for me, like video was like terrifying. Like I could never, like even literally 6 months ago, I could not be doing this. Like I remember when I was talking to you, I think you were like my fourth video interview that I did or something like that. And I was like, I don't know. I was like talking so fast. I talk fast in general, but I was like so nervous, like compared
really?
To like,
but you did great. Really? You did.
But like, honestly, compared to how I feel now, like after I've gone, you know, done so many more speaking engagements, I feel a lot more confident in front of a video camera, and recording myself and, you know, et cetera. But, if you're terrified of video, don't do video because it's not going to come naturally. You have to start out with things that do naturally. However, video, I really believe is what's up and coming and it's already up and coming and you should really jump on it if you can. But if you can't create content on your blog, both are good because they both have SEO value. Now how Google obviously owns, YouTube. So everything you create on YouTube is going to be directly affected, and going to be searchable for you. So that's amazing. However, the YouTube boom, I feel like you have to create massive amount of content right now to even tap into it, because if you started a few years ago, it would have been a lot easier. So now you just have to work twice as hard. So that's why I say if you're not comfortable with it, either get comfortable with it by producing content and just running with it, or start with a blog, create content, see what works, see what doesn't, and then create that into video content, which is what I'm going to be doing soon too. Like from all the content that I have on my blog, I'm going to just start creating videos of what I've already written about and go from there.
Love it. And just one last question that also came up that I think is key just to close out is when people do create their blogs and if they're really new and up and coming, where can they share those blog posts in order for other people if they don't have a personal following or people don't know their domain yet, so people can start looking into them?
Definitely Facebook groups that are around your niche. Share them. And then as well, share other people's stuff too. I mean, blogging is a community. I feel like YouTube, they collaborate a lot, but bloggers kind of stick to themselves. When in reality, you should think of blogging as a community that you're joining. So I would say Facebook groups, but the most productive I would definitely say is Pinterest. Pinterest groups are the best because people actually, like, think about how you operate on Pinterest. You always pin other people's content, right? So that's something that's very natural for you. But on Facebook, you might not necessarily share other people's content, even though it's very interesting. So think about how you personally use platforms and then how other people would use that too. And then find out what works for you. But I know for a fact that Pinterest has worked for a lot of bloggers before. So
thank you. Those are great tips. And we'll look out for your course. And so you guys have something amazing to take away and apply what Elaine has been talking about even to a deeper level. She has a free gift she's going to share with you. Can you tell us a little bit about the free gift?
So the freebie gift is a 22-page ebook that I wrote about how to become an Instagram influencer, because Instagram influencing goes hand in hand with blogging, honestly. I would recommend if you want to become an Instagram influencer, definitely have a blog to go along with that, because you're not going to get the big bucks if you just have an Instagram profile. However, Instagram influencers is like what's hot right now, what's popping. Everybody wants to learn about it and everyone was emailing me about it. And that's why I created this this ebook for you guys. So you guys can download it at bit.ly/Instagram influence. And it's just so you can learn, you know, how to exactly what brands are looking for and how to structure your profile according to what will attract a brand.
Right. And we'll have just a button so they can directly download it beside your interview. So just click the button and it'll take you directly to that link so you guys can access it instantly. And for our last challenge, we have a challenge for you guys. So after you finish watching the interview and download your free gift, go ahead and head over to the Facebook group where Elaine and I will be waiting for you and answer Elaine's following challenge questions, because we want to hear from you.
My question for you is, if you have not started a blog yet, what niche do you want to tap into and why? And if you have started a blog, what niche are you in and why did you choose it?
So head over to the Facebook group, let us know your reply to this challenge, and you'll be able to hear back from me and from Elaine, and also ask us any other questions. If there are any other questions that you have that arose from this interview, you can let us know there. That's the place to be. So we'll see you guys over in the Facebook group after our interview. Thank you so much, Elaine. It was a pleasure talking to you again, and it's always great to connect with you, and you have amazing energy. So excited for your course, and I can't wait to see it when it comes out.
Yeah, thanks, Lena. Always a pleasure.